Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us this edition of Leak Project. I am your host, Rex Bear. We have David Oates and Jay Wilder with us from reversespeech.weebly.com. Now, we're going to dive deep into the analysis of reverse speech. I have been studying this off and on now for about 10 years. I used to get into it pretty deep. I'm sure most of you have heard Stairway to Heaven backwards and also some of the Beatles songs. So we're going to find out what it really means and if it's actually legit. So thank you so much for joining us tonight here at the Leak Project. Sorry about the technical difficulties earlier. How the heck are you guys?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Rex.
Absolutely. And the audio is so much better now. Now let's get into this. We'll just dive right in. Why is reverse speech so important, and why does it work?
Oh, right. Let's dive right in. Okay, well, reverse speech is so important because it gives us direct access to the unconscious. The human psyche is comprised of many different layers, consciousness being only the top 5% of the human psyche. 95% of the mind is virtually unconscious and largely unexplored. What reverse speech is, it is this unexplored region of the unconscious speaking, and it is speaking constantly, and it's speaking in reverse. And if you take speech and run it backwards about once every 20-30 seconds, you can hear these very clear phrases amongst the gibberish. I'll be playing examples as this show continues. That is the voice of the unconscious. So it's important, very important, because other than hypnosis, we have not yet had a reliable access into the unconscious mind. We've fiddled around with NLP, other modalities, attempt to access the unconscious, but this is the first real direct communication with the unconscious that has been established in normal, straightforward words and English to understand. So that's why it's so important, and it can teach us about who we are, why we create the things that we create, why we have the behavioral patterns we have, what causes us to live in the world in which we live. All of these secrets are contained within the unconscious. So what it actually is a dual-fold form of human communication. My theory is that language is bi-level, forwards as well as backwards. And as the brain is constructing the sounds of speech, it's putting those sounds together in such a way that we're saying two things at once. One forwards from the conscious and the other one in reverse from the unconscious. So it's a natural form of language. It's been surrounded with suspicion and superstition for decades. You know, religious fundamentalists called it the voice of Satan, and it's had all sorts of interesting history over the years. But it's essentially another form of communication, the unconscious mind speaking. So that's why it's so important.
Now, is it true that the subconscious mind actually picks things up in reverse first?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, a reverse speech generally precedes forward speech. You'll often hear things in reverse, spoken in reverse before they're spoken forward. So the unconscious is a step ahead of the conscious. And yes, does that answer your question? Yeah.
It does. And I know people that have actually studied that type where they will actually take something and then they'll reverse it and, you know, play it over and over and over again to kind of manifest something a little bit quicker. So that stuff's also been done previously, right? I mean, they've been practicing that type of mantra for thousands of years. So it's not like it's something that was just discovered, right?
What, reverse speech? Oh, well, reverse speech itself has only just been discovered. Well, it really began with backward messages in rock and roll. The Beatles were really the first pioneers of this. They developed a recording technique called backward masking, where they superimposed messages backwards onto their records and hinted Paul McCartney had died. And then people started playing Beatles records backwards, trying to find these messages, and they found other messages there that the Beatles hadn't put there deliberately. And so there was this big controversy. Well, how was this getting there? And then the musicians were denying, well, we didn't put it there. And then the fundamentalists got on the bandwagon and said, well, Satan's doing it. And then that's when I started my work. And this was before anyone ever found it in speech. And that's when I started my work in 83. I heard about backward message in rock and roll and actually got a track of Stairway to Heaven out and played it backwards and was quite stunned to hear the phrase. I went, oh, gee, that is there. Wow, what on earth is this? And so that's how my work started. And then I discovered in speech. Up until my work, I'm not aware of anyone else who's done any work with speech itself. And so I really founded the field and wrote the theories and, taking forward.
That's really cool. And if we could jump to Stairway to Heaven, because sure. The specific location that song was written, and it was supposedly done via automatic writing, but I'm wondering if it's actually just backmasking, where they said, okay, let's come up with this really cool, something really spooky, so when they play it backwards, do you think that was legit, or was that...
No, there's no way they could have orchestrated the song deliberately. No, it's an example of reverse speech. It's not backmasking. It's not deliberately put there. It's an example of reverse speech in music. So,
Okay. So you think that was something that was actually done really via automatic writing, and that there was no backmasking to that?
Correct. Yes. I wouldn't use the phrase automatic writing, but maybe it was. I mean, he wrote it in Aleister Crowley's mansion, Bolkestein, in one afternoon. You know, so it was certainly an inspired piece of music. There's no doubt about that. So who inspired it? I'll leave that up to your personal beliefs to work that one out.
That's kind of spooky, because when you play that song backwards, I mean, it does have the undertones of hell and Satan and all that kind of stuff. And whether you believe in religious dogma or not, it's definitely in that song.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, the song it's actually quite an interesting verse. I've actually studied, I've written a whole chapter in my one of my books about Stairway to Heaven. And it's actually, when you look into the history, it's actually quite fascinating, the reversal. Let's see if I can pull it up real quick. And, like, for example, talks about a tool shed where he made people suffer, sad Satan. And there was a church built on Bolkestein, which Aleister Crowley owned, called the Tool House, and it burned to the ground and everyone inside perished. So it has that whole interesting... And I can't find it at the top of my head. Gee, you'd think I'd have Stairway to Heaven right at the very top of my list, wouldn't you?
That's okay. Yeah, no problem. It happens to the best of us. I threw a curveball out there.
Yeah, no, that's okay. It's got to be here under my music section. And I'm just... I have quite an extensive music section. And
I can imagine.
I'd like to...
Go ahead, Jay.
Say something about what Dave was talking about how the subconscious works and my involvement, why I got involved with David, which is really new. It wasn't till January this year, a good friend of mine told me about David's work, and I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. But I've been a student of you know, what do you want to call it, metaphysics, or how is it that some people have a really extraordinary life, and how is it some people suffer and run into brick walls all the time? And I finally came to the realization that it really depends on what their subconscious believes. You know, you've heard the expression, we only use 10% of our brain. Well, Mother Nature doesn't waste anything. That other 90% is being used, and that's the subconscious. So guess which part is going to really, you know, create our life? It's that 90%. That's why affirmations by themselves don't really work. You can say, I'm wealthy, but unless your subconscious aligns with that, nothing's going to really happen. So anyway, that's where I was when I heard about reverse speech, and I decided to check it out. And David's just put together a package of 12 programs, MP3 files, and I got those. And they're called MetaWalks. And they're short. They're only like 8 minutes or so. And they had a really profound effect on my life, in the sense that things changed the results I was having in my life. You know, and when I look at how they change, I think about how we learn to ride a bicycle, say. You know, we get on a bicycle and we fall off, we get on a bicycle and we fall off. At some point, we get on the bicycle and we can ride. And for the rest of our life, we'll be able to ride a bicycle, right? Well, that's because the subconscious learned how to ride a bicycle. So these meta walks, I learned. Well, in my business, I learned some new things about being successful in business in a way that my business has completely changed. I'm making more money. I'm getting a whole different grade of clients coming in. It's like, whoa, how could this be? Which, you know, to be honest, my conscious mind goes, this is too simple. This couldn't really be happening like this. But it's been my experience. So I got involved with David, and out of that, I decided I want to help him get this out in the world because, you know, there's an expression, when the truth is told in a way it's believed, people will take action on it. And I really believe we're at a place in our history, humanity's history, where we really need to clean up our act. You know, we need to clean up our subconscious. And this is one of the best tools, if not the best tool, I've ever found. So I'm kind of inspired on a mission here for people to check it out for themselves and see if it works.
That's really cool. I mean, that's really cool. And do you think that it also kind of gives you more of a vision, like an outline of what you see yourself doing in the future?
Well, yeah, and it's not so much it gives it. It's like when I use my conscious mind to think about my future, different things come up that are just naturally there. It's kind of spooky in a sense because it's like, oh, I'm thinking really different about this. But it gets back in there like riding a bicycle, you know. It's like before you can ride a bicycle, you couldn't visualize yourself riding a bicycle. Once you can ride a bicycle, you can visualize yourself riding around the block, no problem. So the meta walks, David has a package of 12 of them that he sells. Very reasonable. They're only like $47 for all 12 of them, with different categories. There's success, just success in general, and business or your career, health, and I think relationship, if I remember correctly. So I've gone through all 12 of them. I've gone through them numerous times. I find myself, and David, this is a question like for you to address. I find myself when I use them going so deep. I mean, it's like the most powerful. I meditate. I mean, sometimes if I meditate long enough, I'll get in a really deep state of consciousness. But I listen to these meta walks, and I get there in a matter of minutes. And so why is that, David? How is it that
Well, that's the universal feedback I get from everyone. And I've had people say to me, look, I can't be hypnotized, and bang, no problems at all. It's because, let me see if I can give a quick, short answer to that question. It's because what I've discovered with reverse speech is how the unconscious mind communicates, how it thinks. And it thinks in a matrix of pictures or images or metaphor. And so the meta walks themselves use the actual language that the unconscious mind uses. Which, I mean, it's taken me 20, 30 years to get to this stage of learning to understand how the unconscious thinks. So my whole premise when I first started my research was that if reverse speech is the voice of the unconscious, what can it teach me about the unconscious and how the unconscious thinks and functions? So the reason why it's so deep is that the inductions I use are using languages and images from the unconscious mind. So it's sort of like an analogy would be if you want to establish communication with a Russian, it's not much point talking to him in English, okay? And but you need to talk right to him in Russian. And same with the unconscious. It's not much point talking to the unconscious in language it doesn't use. And the unconscious thinks differently. It uses different languages. It uses different linguistic patterns. And so the meta walks have all been designed around what I've learned about how the unconscious thinks and processes. And that's why they're so deep, because they use language patterns that directly stimulate the unconscious. Does that make sense? Use the unconscious as own language.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, with that said, also, do you get people that reach out to you essentially and they say, okay, I want this to be achieved in my life, and you just have them say a few paragraphs essentially, and then you put an analysis together on it?
No,
well, give it back.
Now we're talking a different process altogether. The $47 12 megawatt package is really, really a generic package. Okay, it's going to generally help your business. It's going to generally help your relationships. But if you've got very specific problems and issues, schizophrenia, I'm just working with a schizophrenic patient right now. It's funny how that came out. But if you've got very specific problems like depression or a consistent pattern that's plagued you all your life, then you're going to need more than generic metaphors to work with that. And I've developed a whole therapeutic process of 8 sessions. And you will come to me, and I'm going to tape you for 30 minutes. I need a good 30 minutes to get a really good look at your unconscious and what's causing this behavior. And the unconscious will tell me. One 30-minute recording will tell me why it's there. Then I discuss results with the client, and that's always a very interesting session, to say the least. It creates changes in and of itself, hearing your own reversals. Then I do another session where I'm going to ask the unconscious, well, how do we fix this pattern? What do we do to change it? And the unconscious, which knows all, tells me what to do. Now, it tells me in pictures or metaphor. And so then I take my clients on a guided journey through the unconscious. I call them a meta walk. It's a combination of two words, meta for metaphor, and walkabout, which is obviously from my Australian heritage. The Australian Aboriginals go on their walkabouts into the desert. So a meta walk is a spiritual journey through the metaphors of the unconscious. That's how I got the name. So then I'll take my clients through a specific metaphor designed specifically for them, like it's tailor-made. And generally, we'll get success. Sometimes I have to go into a second round, but generally I'll get success. We are asked of the unconscious to change the way it functions and operates, but we're doing that with the language of the unconscious. And so it creates a very powerful state and very powerful changes. And so what can I say? That's what it is.
Yeah, that's neat. And do you ever add any type of binaural beats or anything underneath the actual tracks too?
In the generic meta walks, I've got background music, but when I'm giving them live to my clients, no, there's no background. It's just purely by my tone of voice.
Cool. Yeah, absolutely. And if we could also, I think that our audience here at Leak Project would just love to hear some of the stuff that you've done, the analysis on the politicians. And I know there were some things you shared previously, and then the Skype gremlins kicked in, so maybe we could do that again.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, in addition to my very, very busy practice, I also managed to get some time out to follow politicians. And the great thing about reverse speech is it's going to tell us what's really on their mind, what their agenda is, who they really are. And I followed the election campaign very closely. Excuse me, sorry about that. Presenting my findings on the regular radio shows, as well as my own show, which I do every Friday afternoon. So let's play a couple of examples of reverse speech on politicians, and this will also give you an idea what reverse speech is all about. And we're going to start off with Hillary Clinton, okay? So here she is having a go at Donald Trump.
And you know what? It also matters when he makes fun of people with disabilities. Calls women pigs.
Okay, now I've isolated a small section of this. I'm going to play it backwards at three different speeds. See if you can hear us say, "And I'll scam you."
And I'll scam you.
And I'll scam you. And I'll scam you.
And so you know I'm not pulling any tricks. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play the whole track.
The hair's standing up on the back of my neck. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. That's what we call an incongruent reversal. She doesn't really believe in what she's saying. She's just saying it for political purposes, and she's pulling a con. That's what the reversal means. But here, I'm going to play the whole track backwards and see if you can hear how it appears amongst the gibberish. So here we go.
Do
you hear that jump out of the gibberish there? I'll do that again. And that's how reverse speech works. Run any section of speech backwards, and once every 20, 30 seconds, you're going to hear these very clear phrases like that pop up out of the gibberish. And it's who you really are, the real you, what you're thinking and feeling, both conscious as well as unconscious. Now, let's look at Donald Trump as a comparison. Donald Trump was very congruent during the election campaign. Now, that's actually changed since he's been in office, and I'm not too sure why yet. I need some more reversals to find out. But let's look at one of Trump's congruent reversals. And here he is talking about Hillary Clinton's email scandal.
When he gave up that email thing, he said, "Here, Hillary." And you know what? That was orchestrated by the Democratic Party.
And we run this in reverse, and he says, "Hillary, let's see this email."
Hillary, this is
Hillary.
And once more.
Hillary.
So that's what we call a congruent reversal. He uses the word Hillary and email in reverse. He uses them in forwards as well, so it's using the same words backwards as it is forwards. And he's communicating the same message. He wants to see Hillary's emails. And once again, let's play the whole lot backwards and see if you can hear it amongst the gibberish. Here we go. You hear that jumps up out of the gibberish there? He'll do it again. And there it is. That's how reverse speech occurs. Okay? Once every 20, 30 seconds, this very clear phrase amongst the gibberish. It's a dual form of human communication. What the fundamentalist Christians were finding in rock and roll music, calling it the work of the devil, was really the first sign of this dual communication process. And not understanding what it was, as humans generally do, we attribute it to Satan, you know. So what else is new? So that's, so there's a couple of very simple examples of reverse speech. One is incongruent, and the other one is congruent. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely it does. And so you do this a lot. I mean, you're getting on to the C-SPAN and different channels where you've got these political leaders giving their speeches, and then you'll take that, break it down, dissect it, reverse it, and come up with an analysis.
Correct. I do it. I do it a lot. I also have staff working for me who do it too. So it's not just all mine. I mean, I wouldn't have time to do all the work necessary to find all the current stuff. So I have people doing it for me. I do some. And I have people doing it for me too. And we dissect them down. We get them off of YouTube or C-SPAN. Whitehouse.gov used to save audios of speeches on their website, but they're not anymore. They've just got transcripts. I haven't been able to find any audio, so I don't know what's happened to Whitehouse.gov. But anyway, we're on top of it. And I go on various radio shows and present all the latest findings.
Right. Yeah, that's neat. Now, so you've been doing this for, I guess, 24 years now.
34.
And
34.
Wow. Okay.
Long time.
What has scared you the most out of all the, if you can think just off the top of your head, the most frightening reverse speech analysis, what was it and when?
Ooh, gee, that's interesting. I think I was frightened more back in my early days before I knew what it was. It used to freak me out back then. And back in my early days, I remember a reversal I found on AC/DC's a song called The Night Stalker, which inspired Richard Ramirez to commit his crimes back in the 70s and 80s. And it was a really spooky reversal. And said, listen to me, I'm from hell, I am Lucifer. Reversals like that really freaked me out. But, you know, AC/DC make no apologies about the violent, satanic, occultic nature of their music forwards anyway, so to hear something like that in reverse is not surprising. But, go ahead.
No, Paul, please, I was just going to ask, because does this make you more religious? I mean, does this make you think that when somebody says something like that in reverse speech, is it just because that's what their mind is thinking, or do you think that it could actually be demonic influences and stuff like that?
No, I don't believe in demonic influences, so that's the belief system I operate from. No, I think they're all metaphors. You know, I don't believe there's an actual person of Satan or Lucifer.
And David, would you explain metaphors exactly? When I first started with you, I wasn't that sure of the meaning of that word.
Oh, right. Oh, well, a metaphor is an analogy in its simplest version. I mean, we use metaphors in forward speech, like someone says, he stabbed me in the back. That's a metaphor. It doesn't mean he literally got a knife and stabbed you in the back. But that phrase communicates the emotions that behind that act of betrayal. He stabbed me in the back. And the unconscious thinks in pictures or metaphor. And they are words or pictures that encompass a whole variety of emotions. Like wolf is a very common metaphor in reverse speech. I find that on probably every tape I do. And the wolf symbolizes drive, motivation, stamina, strength. But they are more than just words or pictures. They are actually life, even and of themselves. They have power, and the way they operate with other metaphors in the unconscious is what creates behavior. So has it maybe more or less religious? I'm not too sure how to answer that question. I'm a minister's son, so I grew up in the church. So I still have my basic Christian faith, which was with me with childhood. But I don't think that influences the work I do. I think the unconscious is very spiritual. I think that there are many times in reverse speech where we can hear the voice of our spirit speaking. Actually, I've got a wonderful example that would illustrate that. Let me bring that up real quick. This is such a classic reversal. This is a guy who's talking to his tape player, and he's got money problems, and he's looking for answers. So here's the forwards.
Does it further for us to put more energy and money and effort?
And this reversal says, you're frightened, lean on me.
You're frightened, lean on me.
You're frightened, lean on me.
And see, that's his spirit talking to him and saying, look, I know you're frightened, I know you're upset, just lean on me. Trust in me. And many reversals are the voice of the spirit speaking to the conscious mind. We call it the small still voice. I mean, people do meditation trying to get in contact with that voice inside. There's so many disciplines out there that teach us how to get in contact with that voice. Well, with reverse speech, you can actually hear it in straightforward English. You don't have to do any complicated meditations or guesswork or get to any particular state. Just run a tape backwards and bang, there it is, the voice of your spirit. So in that sense, it's maybe more spiritual than that. I believe in the spirit more. I have my faith in God, but I don't believe in demons or anything like that as an actual entity. No.
Sure, and I appreciate that, and I like how you separate the two. You separate your faith from your work, and I think that's good. That's important. And also, though, I would think that, let's say somebody is in a house or a location that might be, you know, like some paranormal activity. Maybe there's some spirits that are lingering there or something like that. Or maybe there are poltergeists. Or I certainly do think there are – I don't know what my definition of a demon is, but I do think that there's forces out there that are very dark and very dense. I actually just real quick, I had a copy of Lesser Keys of Solomon, the 72 Lesser Keys of Solomon that I had back in the day that – when I was researching this kind of stuff, and it was a used copy from like 1913. Well, that was a big mistake to buy a used Goetia. That was not a, I get it in my house. And, my roommate at the time had no idea that I even had this book, and I had it in my house for a few weeks, and I finally had to get rid of it because the energy was just so dense. But literally the day that I got rid of that book, my roommate goes, "Man, does it feel different around here? The energy just feels lighter." And it was – you could literally feel a difference. So maybe those forces, whatever they are – I mean, you know, maybe not your typical what somebody would think of with horns and red dancing around with a tail or something like that. But maybe if you're in an area that has got paranormal activity and they find a way to kind of influence your verbiage and you play that back in reverse, I wonder if there's times or cases that are very similar to the Stairway to Heaven song.
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about EVPs?
Not EVP. I would like to get into that. More so stuff that's like we are talking what you say because of the area that you're in.
Oh, I see. Well, you'll get quite dark reversals, boy. Yeah, I've got some very dark reversals. Satan rules my soul, and Satan has raped the divine. And there's just some reverse I can think of at the top of my head I found on clients. Reverse beats can get pretty dark and pretty nasty. Absolutely. And
jeez. So those were people you were helping and working with at the time before that you got that type of speech out of.
Yes.
What did you say to them after that?
Well, once again, I explained it. I'm sorry, Jay. I'll just give me one sec.
Jay.
I explain it all as a metaphor. I say this is a metaphor of the unconscious. And we're going to work with this metaphor the same as I work in other metaphors. I've actually done demon deliverance sessions in trance sometimes because that's what the client wanted. But I believe I'm working with pictures and energy forms within the unconscious, not external demonic activity. That's just my belief system. So I don't know.
No, I appreciate that. Absolutely.
Anyway, Jay, you were saying? Sorry, mate.
I wanted to explain what I've come to, how I've come to look at this word Satan, which can be scary, you know, in a sense. But what I've come to realize in my study and in Googling the word and whatnot, it's basically about Saturn, which is the pursuit of materiality. So people who are satanic are valuing materiality above spirituality. And that's where the problem starts, you know. What's the expression? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and then all other things are added unto you. But when we seek first the material, give me the money and all that kind of stuff, that's when Satan rules. See what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point.
But it's not that big of a deal. And through these meta walks, I've watched my and I'll be honest, you know, I mean, the stress of living in our modern day world, I got to have money. But through these meta walks, I've relaxed a lot more. My inner pictures have shifted in a way that I find myself being more spiritual and more trusting. And consequently, my business is doing better. So
that's fantastic. So this is something that can really help people in a multitude of ways, and I'd like to get into more of the metaphysical aspect with this also. Can it open up parts of the mind, like the sixth sense type?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Now you get into the deeper aspects of reverse speech. Yes, indeed. Yes, it can and does stimulate our deeper unconscious senses. Students who take training will notice within 1 or 2 months of their research that their intuition is getting sharper and more refined. The very act of listening to tapes backwards stimulates those unconscious senses. The other paranormal activity that's very common around reverse speech and reverse speech practitioners is the sense of smell. It's very common to manifest odors when you're working personally with clients. And I've had many students who've woken up in the middle of the night and the house is full of roses or the smell of roses or perfume. And it's one of the very interesting side effects of learning how to do reverse speech is your intuition becomes sharp and more refined. Unconscious senses are stimulated. I certainly believe in deeper unconscious senses like ESP. And we are all communicating unconsciously too. Where reverse speech talks about sound that we're communicating through the whirlwind. How do I explain that? The whirlwind, I won't get into that. I'll talk for half an hour explaining that. Needless to say, in my 34 years of research, I've developed a very comprehensive portfolio of metaphors and archetypes and how you work with them and shift them. And that's why the generic metawalks that Jay is doing work so well on reversespeech.weebly.com. So, I don't know. Did I get off track?
No, not at all. I want to hear more about the whirlpool now, though.
Oh, the whirlwind. Ah, right.
Or the whirlwind, yeah.
Whirlwind. Very common metaphor. Yes, reverse speech says that there's an energy force that surrounds and pervades everything in the physical planet. And there's an energy force surrounding our physical bodies. And reverse speech calls it the whirlwind. And it's how we create and manifest. It's how ESP takes place. We are communicating through this unconscious energy field that surrounds the planet. Reverse speech says we communicate through sound. I'm not too sure what sound means yet. It's some energy vibration that I don't fully understand. But very, very common. Let me see if I can play you a whirlwind metaphor, if I can pull one up real quick. A lot of the work I do is with the whirlwind, working with the client's whirlwinds, and I've got quite a few whirlwind reversals here. Let me find a nice simple one to start off with.
And I'm also looking at your website, reversespeech.weebly.com, and you do different, you'll take third-party recordings, different politicians and stuff like that, and people can search for that, and then you can reverse it backwards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we do all that type of stuff.
Absolutely. Cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to find a nice, simple whirlwind metaphor. I know the reverse I'm looking for, and, it's amazing when you want to find something you can't see it. I got a really,
right.
really simple...
You ever heard the saying, Murphy is an optimist?
Oh, yeah, right. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that saying, but I would tend to agree with that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So look, I can't see it. So let's play another whirlwind reversal. It's a little bit more complicated. And it is. Hang on. Here's one on. That uses two other metaphors. So does this one. All right. Let's play this one. Here we go.
My whirlwind is just suddenly full of debris, and it's very dark.
Okay, he says, forward my whirlwind is full of debris, and backwards he says, did the wolf heal lessons in the whirlwind?
Did the wolf heal lessons in the whirlwind?
Oh, yeah.
So that's a reverse speech metaphor. And it's basically, it's a question. The wolf, we talked about wolf before, very common metaphor in reverse speech. Wolf is our drive and motivation. And lessons in the whirlwind. Ooh, he's got some messages. He's got lessons in life he needs to learn. Reverse speech talks a lot about lessons. And our life experiences are all lessons to teach us things in our evolutionary growth. And did the wolf hear lessons in the whirlwind? Was I strong enough and motivated enough to learn and understand these lessons that I need to learn. And here's another whirlwind metaphor.
Dude, I've been there a few times.
Oops, sorry. Okay, here we go.
I'm not sure what happens when you pass. I've had out-of-body experiences at Monroe Institute. I've been there a few times.
Not too sure what happens when you pass. But backwards, maybe this is what happens when you pass. He says, now befriend with Delicious Whirlwind.
Now if he's burned the videos, it's no argument.
So when we pass, we become one with the whirlwind, and it's magnificent, it's delicious, it's wonderful. So reverse speech has got so many answers to so many questions. Philosophers have been searching for centuries for this. This is not only an access in the unconscious, but it's tapping into the collective unconscious and that universal storehouse of knowledge and wisdom that resides within. All of this can be found in reverse speech. Who we really are, why we are here, our relationship with the divine. Reverse speech discusses all of this. It's the 95% of the mind that is not conscious. And consciously, we are only in contact with 5%. The other 95% has knowledge and wisdom and understanding. It creates our behavior, our personality. It creates the world in which we live. The metaphoric, holographic construct of the unconscious is reflected into the physical world. We drive the car we drive because it correlates with one of the metaphors in the unconscious. And so by working with the unconscious at the level that I work at, we are literally changing the physical world in which you live. As Jay can testify, he's already seen it. We're getting new clients.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And it's gentle. You know, I can imagine some people may be listening to this and think, oh, that sounds scary. I don't want to know what's in my subconscious. But it's really very gentle. I've not once had anything that upset me listening to these MetaWalk programs. In fact, I look forward to being able to take time to do it because I always feel better afterwards.
And yeah, and once again, I'm looking at reversespeech.weebly.com, and you've got your testimony on here, Jay. This is very cool. And I think that anything that will help you get in tune with Source and help you get back on track if you're not on track. I mean, when people are on their path that they're supposed to be on, anything that gets in their way just crumbles. I mean, they blast through that like a piece of paper. Like a sharp steak knife would slice through butter. I mean, it's just, and that's what I like about when you can understand what you're thinking, what your subconscious mind is saying. I guess maybe that's why about over 10 years ago, I really started researching the subconscious mind, neurolinguistic programming. And when you find out, like you said, 95% of what you think and what you do and how you act and everything, that's the subconscious mind right there. People don't realize that, but some people do, like Darren Brown. I mean, that guy, he can go into a jewelry store and he can confuse the person behind the counter with conversational hypnosis in about literally 15 to 20 seconds using a confusion tactics on that person. He'll give them fake dollar bills or just like literally white pieces of paper, and he'll get jewelry, he'll walk out of the store, and then a few seconds later, you'll see the clerk walk out, shaking his head, like scratching his head, like, what did I just do? And it's because he's tapping into the subconscious mind. And then you find footage where people will put in the background, they'll have certain images and stuff. Well, that will cause the person to do something without them even realizing the background is causing them to act a certain way. And I feel that the media is really good at that, and they probably know a lot of these tactics, and they probably, you know, keep that for themselves in the marketing campaigns, and obviously the media is heavily influenced by alphabet agencies and corporations that have a lot of money, and you know, the pharmaceutical industries and stuff. So they're like, okay, well, how do we get people to want to buy our products? Well, let's use this type of psychology, and maybe they have this specific tactic that they use. So people like you guys that, you know, I mean, I just think this is amazing because you can take that, analyze it, and play it back so people know what is behind the veil. And if it's deceitful, like that audio that you played with Hillary Clinton where she said it in reverse, I'm going to scam you. I'm going to scam you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's like knowledge is power, you know, and this gives you some power to actually put yourself in the driver's seat of your life. You know, you put your hands on the steering wheel and you got your foot on the gas pedal and the brake, and you can use this to really change your subconscious and thereby change your life. I mean, what's the expression? Change your mind, change your life. That's what this does. It's been, for me, I've had friends of mine. Just recently, I met a friend for breakfast. I hadn't seen her in a couple of months before I started using MetaWalks, and she looked at me and said, "What has happened to you? You look so different, you know." And it's a thing that doesn't make a lot of sense. But you know, I think one reason why this is working so well is this is my personal belief is that our world is speeding up. Everything is moving faster. So the stuff that's in our subconscious is manifesting outward faster. So, and I say this to inspire people to actually decide to check this out for themselves firsthand. I mean, that's always the best way is to have your own firsthand experience, because as things are speeding up, if you want to believe that or if you can agree with that, what's in our subconscious is going to be showing up faster than ever before. So, in fact, I have a saying, clear now, avoid the rush later. So,
nice. That's my, Brilliant, brilliant. Now, let me ask you also, Jay, if I can, have you noticed that since you've started doing this, do you look at things like in reverse now, like when you see an icon or a business name or something, you start talking backwards?
That's a good question. And not so much I felt I've been talking backwards, but sometimes I'll hear people talking and I think for a second they said something backwards. And I hadn't heard David say what he said earlier in this interview that you start having that experience. I can't say that so much. I know for my belief systems, they're becoming simpler, really. I haven't thought of it that way, though. In fact, what you said earlier, Rex, about that you played mantras backwards, that gave me a whole new avenue on how to use this whole concept of reverse speech, which is to think about things. How is it that I'm seeing it backwards? Would that be I'm kind of over my head here, David. Help me out here. Is that kind of a fair, is that, what do you think about that idea, to think things backwards?
Think things backwards. Oh, gee whiz. You think, let's address the first one. Thinking you've heard something backwards first. It is possible, using hypnosis, to hear reversals consciously. I've achieved this. Using certain hypnotic commands, you instruct the unconscious mind to hear. You instruct the unconscious mind to tell the conscious what it's hearing. It does happen. It does happen occasionally. Yes, I've heard this feedback many times before. Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah, in essence, yeah. So, yeah. And would you define hypnosis? I mean, you know, my first thought about hypnosis is a stage hypnosis that makes people, act like a chicken or something.
Oh, no, yeah. I use therapeutic hypnosis. I don't do stage hypnosis at all. I really don't even like using the word hypnosis, because what I'm doing is really a meditative state. I place you in a light state of relaxation. You're fully conscious and fully aware of what's going on. You see the pictures as I suggest that you see them, and you come out. No one's ever been harmed or damaged by it. Sometimes people fall asleep while I'm doing the mad walks, and they all wake up when I finished. That happens occasionally, but you're just really in a light meditative state, and that's it. Hypnosis is really the wrong word. That's why I call it a meditation.
Yeah. Yeah. I like I said earlier, I meditate, and that's what it's like for me. It's like doing a meditation, only I'm listening to the MP3 file. And then it's, you know, my computer, subconscious has been upgraded. I have, new programs, and it seems to, now here's a question I haven't asked you, David. It seems to neutralize, let's say what's one, well, like money. So, I was raised in a family where there was never enough money, and I'll struggle. So I have this fear of I'm not going to have enough money. Even when I have money, I can have this fear I'm not going to have enough money. So, but that seems to neutralized. It's like just how could I have ever even thought that, you know? So,
well, yeah,
how does that?
Well, it's written.
How does that work?
It's written into the money matter walks. It's simply changing pictures. I don't use mantras or affirmations or subliminal messages. All I'm doing is changing the pictures, and I'm drawing on 34 years of experience of working with the unconscious and the way the unconscious communicates. So, well, that's how it works. Change the picture, you change the conscious thoughts.
Let's go to the bicycle analogy I was using. So if I never learned to ride a bicycle and I got hurt and that was it, I stopped, then I could use a meta walk where I am riding a bicycle and it's easy and successful and fun. And that fear would, in essence, disappear. That phobia would disappear around bicycles.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we could do that. Yeah, yes, I've worked with phobias, not very often, but I have. Yeah, I had good success.
Interesting. Well, let me add in here, Rex, if you don't mind. So David actually has three different levels of people can participate in. One is the metal walks, which you can go to reversespeech.weebly.com and purchase them and download them on your computer, you know, like in 10 minutes and start using them. But then the other thing is he does do one-on-one sessions. It's a session a week for 8 weeks. And I have done that. I've started that. He had me send him a list to begin with of what I wanted in my life. And I think I sent him a longer list than maybe he'd never seen. we talked about that in a session and he recorded it. And then he did a reversal on it to find out what I really believed about what I said I wanted in my life. And then had another session to go even deeper in that. And then he made a meta walk for me. And he's made two of them so far that I listened to. And I don't have enough adjectives to describe the shifts. It's just everything's different. And then the third level of participation is in training. He does have a training program for people to learn how to be reverse speech practitioners. And there's another train in starting in October. Is that what you said, David?
Yeah, October 7th, when the next course starts.
Yeah. And you can go to reversespeech.weebly.com, and my contact information is there. I love talking about this. So if anyone has any interest, questions, or whatnot, please go there and get in touch with me, and you can also click on the Meta Walks website and read more about Meta Walks and what the 12 Meta Walks are, and I think there's probably some testimonials there, but it goes deeper into how it works, and you can order them there and try it for yourself. So, David, did you find the reversal on Stairway to Heaven?
Yes, I did, actually. Yes. got it up. Where is it? Here we go. Here, I'll play you the very first backward message I ever heard. This is right at the end of Stairway to Heaven. Now, the reversal actually says, play backward, hear words sung. But the play, the P on play is very soft. You may not hear the word play, but but you certainly hear backward and hear words some. I'll play it a little bit slower, Spleen. And that was the very first backward message I ever heard. How about that, hey? But the satanic messages are, I think I've got that here. Oh, yeah, okay. It's my sweet Satan, the one whose little path would make me sad. And then there's another one that says there was a little tool shed where he made us suffer. Oh, sorry, we'll go back a little bit. I started too late. Okay, here we go. So there you go. That's Stairway to Heaven, backwards.
Spooky, man. I'm telling you, that is literally making the hair stand up on the back of my neck again. Wow. Well, I got to say, both of you guys are so knowledgeable in reverse speech. David, Jay, it was an honor to have you on the show here at the Leak Project. Ladies and gentlemen, check out reversespeech.weebly.com. And, hey, I hope we can do this again sometime. It'd be great to see maybe a breakdown or an analysis on a future speech that Mr. President Donald Trump is going to give sometime soon.
Yeah, that'd be great. Just ask me back on any time. I'll be only too happy. And thanks for having us. Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Rex.
Right on. You're welcome, Jay. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, go to leakproject.com. We have an awesome opportunity right now for premium members. Click on the top of the website, $50 for the entire year, unlimited downloads, and they are streamable as well. Thank you, everybody. Be the change you want to see.